Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thanks, Kurt. You know, as Americans, we are an impatient people. We just don't like to wait. We want everything drive-through. We want everything on demand. We want things quick. We want things now. And we want it our way. So how do you practice patience in your family? How do you get intentional? Does it really matter? What's the big deal with this today? I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. My phone number is open to you at 888-888-1717. Is the number. And the question I'm throwing out to you is, how do you practice patience? How do you stay patient when things get a little crazy with your family? 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Now, you know, when you think about patience, you think about, well, all the things going on in the world, where does patience fit into the priority? It's interesting when you look in the scripture that the Apostle Paul, when he's making all of these list of attributes about love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. The very first thing he says is love is patient. That's kind of a big deal. Love is patient. And I was looking at some scripture here. There's a lot in the scripture about the power of patience. Proverbs 16:32, better to be patient than powerful. Romans 12:12, be patient in trouble. Ephesians 4:2, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other. 2 Timothy 2:24, be patient with difficult people. James 5:7, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. So one of the descriptors of love is patience. Wow. It's a big deal. I mean, we live in a very impatient time, impatient culture. How have you learned to be patient with your kids, with your family? You've got a crazy world in which we live. How do you stay patient with things when things get a little crazy in your family? 888-888-1717 is my number. Practicing patience to the calls. I start with Sandy in Michigan. Sandy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question on patience today?
Dr. Randy, we have a 15-year-old daughter who has two chronic medical conditions. And as much as we want to step back and let her grow and be independent, I'm not sure how to do that without being the helicopter parent and jeopardizing her health in the meantime. So we struggle with that as parents. How do we do that?
Well, I think there's a difference between impatience, since that's the topic today, and just being a responsible parent, where you have to, if you have a child with a special need, you have to hover a little bit more. You have to be a little bit more aware and understanding the capacity and capabilities and limitations that your daughter may have. Do you feel like you're impatient?
At times, you know, she wants to be a typical 15-year-old. Driving is a big thing. She wants to start driver's ed, and we say, you know, we're a little more reluctant because of her medical conditions, and so that, you know, that's a bit trying. It's also the way that we, as my husband and I, face those issues. I'm probably a little more cautious than he is when it comes to letting her do things like that.
Yeah. I keep coming back to the fact that we want our children to maximize their capacity and potential. In other words, knowing your child, knowing what they're capable of, knowing the difference between when they're, you know, they're just taking advantage of the situation and trying to gain your attention or play power with you, versus the fact that they really do have a need and you need to step in. We want our children to become as capable as they can, as independent as they can. And sometimes you have to experiment with that. Sometimes you have to talk to the doctors to find out, okay, what is my child capable of and how can I help them excel? Here's what I do believe. As human beings, we all have great capacity. We have ability. And we want to maximize that. We want to maximize the capabilities and capacity that we have with each of our children and with ourselves, so we can reach that kind of capacity that really allows us to excel. So, you know, how do you feel when you rate yourself, Sandy? Do you feel like you're You're doing pretty well?
I think, you know, we try to encourage her to try different things, to be the best that she can, and we try not to let either one of her conditions interfere with her life, but we have to be cautious about some things.
Yeah, that's normal.
You know, there's safety impacts there.
Absolutely, and I don't think that's impatience. I think today our topic is really about impatience, meaning that I want things to go along faster. My expectations aren't realistic. I'm pushing things beyond learning to wait. And one of the beauties of raising children is that, you know, God gives us 18 years or so to do this. And being patient is a part of the process. So, all right, I hope that helps, Sandy. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let me move to John, who wants to talk, share a comment about patience today in the family. Hey, John.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. What's your take on this thing on patience?
Personally, I'm just going to go from the biblical stand. Patience is it's a very beautiful virtue that we as Christians are privileged to have. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ told us to let not your heart be troubled. Because at the end of the day, when you have a peaceful heart, no matter what comes your way, you're going to take it slowly and like, okay, my heart is not troubled. I have mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost in me who's going to help me walk through this. Because when you have a peaceful heart, no matter what comes in your way, things would just work out perfect.
Mm, boy. You know, they may not be perfect in terms of the human assessment of what is perfect, but when we trust the fact that God has a plan and we can wait on Him. You know, I was thinking of, thank you, by the way. Thank you for your call, John. Appreciate it. And I was thinking of my Old Testament friend, the one that I often teach, Nehemiah. You talk about patience. I mean, after he got the news of what had gone on in his homeland and the destruction that had occurred in Jerusalem, it said that he sat down, he wept, he mourned, and he prayed and fasted for many days. And if you follow the scripture and you look at the dates that are listed there, it's about 4 months. About 4 months. He just patiently, he just really absorbed that, and he emotionally and spiritually absorbed it. And I think for those of us in our Western mindset today, I mean, we want stuff now. We want it done now. We want our marriage better now. We want our kids in line now. You know, we want good health today. A little TV commercial, I don't remember what product it is, but talks about, you know, what if you could just eat, you know, one blueberry and you were healthy, or do one push-up and you're healthy? I don't remember what product it is, but, you know, that's really a mindset of the American mindset today. You know, we want things done now, quickly. And patience is something, as we practice it, and as John mentioned, practicing patience is really finding the peace that we have from Christ. He's told us don't let our hearts be troubled, but believe in Him and trust Him. All right, you can join us at 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Heather from Iowa, and I am living intentionally by not yelling so much at my family. I was realizing over several months how my family was basically out of control, and my husband was trying to crawl into a hole, and I kept praying and asking what it was that maybe I was doing. So I am not going to yell at my family anymore, and I'm going to approach everything as calm as possible. And if I can't, I need to even think about it before. So that is what I am doing, to be intentional.
Take a big, deep breath. One of the things we know when we get really stressed, our breathing will become more shallow, or it'll become more rapid, but we're not just breathing. Just the simplicity of taking it in and letting it out. You know, those are some physical things that we can do that just slow down. And then as Christians, to really pray, and boy, I can preach to myself on this one, to practice this. All right, here's, let me see, a comment from Jim's on the line in Michigan, talking about patience today. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Randy. I've got an awesome story, and I could sit down for an hour and talk to you about it, but I know I can't. But I practice thankfulness during these impatient times. I was out shopping with my wife And I had crossed the street. She was a few steps behind me. And I, you know, called for her to hustle up quick. And she went into a little bit of a jog, and she zipped right past me. And just about the time I got to the other side of the street, I could see out of the corner of my eye a truck that was obscured behind another vehicle that I was trying to cross in front of at a stoplight. And my wife got ahead of me, and just then that truck just zipped right by her. Another half a step, I would have buried my wife 3 days later. And God says, you know, Jim, he said, you think you're so much in control, you can't even grab a hold of your wife's arm to stop her. Let me show you who really is in control. And going through a very difficult time, when this happened, and every time, you know, fear sets in, God reminds me, yeah, you know, you couldn't even grab a hold of your wife's arm in time to stop her from this vehicle. Let me show you what I can do. And I think what a blessing, what a gift to see what God can do in spite of ourselves. That's the most amazing
thing.
That's
right. You know, sometimes, Jim, I think you're pointing out that sometimes we got to get a wake-up call. Just something happens that just brings us right back to the limitation of time and the limitation of our own capacity and so on. These are either moments we learn from or we don't. And the fact that we can stop and see, hear a story like yours and say, hey, we can apply that to our own lives.
Sure.
Let's slow down. Let's trust God. We're not in charge. We're not in control.
Yeah.
Powerful. Well, go ahead.
And that's so hard to do until we get that wake-up call. We can keep going on, and you know, I heard one thing about, you know, we can stumble over the truth, and eventually, you know, we will, you know, sometimes we pick ourselves up and keep on going, but other times we'll stop and we'll ponder and think, hey, was God really in this, and what could it have been? So that's what I like
reminder.
To think about.
Very good, Jim. Thank you. We're glad everyone's safe.
All right. Thank you.
First attribute of love, according to the Scripture, is patience. Love is patient, period. Wow, there's a self-assessment for you. How patient are you? Does it indicate the level of love you have in your family? Wow, ouch. 888-888-1717, you can join us. So, we see what the Scripture is teaching here, that desire is personal, powerful, progressive. One more P, it's also perilous, right? It's perilous. Because ultimately, James says, it will lead to death. To sin and death. Unchecked desire leads to death. Boy, I tell you, that's an excerpt from this teaching this month on the problem of self, and it's talking about how you're driving down the road and it's like a magnet. And somebody on staff here, who will remain anonymous, yelled out, Dairy Queen! I know, I may not be Dairy Queen for you, it may be something else, it may be food related, it may be entertainment related, it may be your thinking, your thought life that gets dragged away in the wrong direction. Come on, we know how this happens, and bad habits get developed, and ultimately we want to have habits that honor Christ. And the Scripture teaches about desire. Next month I'm going to really get in and unpack what it means to have godly desires and where they come from and how we can develop habits that will be transformational in our life. Members, this is all coming your way. Just sit back and wait for it to come in the mail if you're receiving the monthly CDs from the Intentional Living Center. If you're not a member, hey, listen, love to have you join us. We really need your support. I mean, it's a value add to receive the teaching, but you're making a valuable statement of what God's doing in your life, and you want to help others. Come and join us. We'll send you the new member kit, two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, plus all the teaching every month. From us to you to say thanks. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call during West Coast business hours to 888-888-1717 and press number 4. And God bless you. Thank you for your support.
Get rid of your crutch.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Parkey Thompson, our intentional financial coach.
A few years ago, I was playing golf and I ruptured my calf muscle. After continuing to finish the round of golf, my foot got to the point where it would not move. After 3 weeks of physical therapy and my foot still not moving, the doctor told me to get rid of your crutch. Hesitantly, I gave up one of the crutches, and a few days later, my foot started moving. Today, I find people who have a hard time living within their means still relying on their crutch of plastic. Credit cards and debit cards both keep you from living within your means. Yes, a debit card is using money in your account, but what is that money for? Throwing out the crutches and intentionally living on cash will keep you on track and on plan with your finances. For Intentional Living, I'm Parkey Thompson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Let's go to Carol on the line in Arizona. Hi, Carol. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
Patience.
You struggle with that?
I'm one of those people who are ready ahead of time. I plan ahead. I get places early. My husband, on the other hand, is one of those that's a last-minute person.
That drives you crazy, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So what do you do? What do you do when you got to get somewhere and he's just hanging out, not quite ready, running late? What do you do to...
Well, I've learned that nagging doesn't work.
That's true.
I learned that early on. So then I just learned to try to keep myself busy and get everything else ready so that as soon as he's ready, we can go. But I'm finding that as we get older, I'm not as patient as I used to be, and I think he's slower than he used to be.
So this slowness thing is actually being late. You have an appointment, let's say, for, you know, being at church or an event or whatever, and you're getting there late. Is that kind of what is driving you nuts?
It is, and I always, if I'm alone, I'm always early. Mm-hmm. That cuts out a lot of stress.
Right.
If there's traffic, I don't have to stress. I'm early.
Yep.
And then we're late, and he's frustrated because we're late.
Yeah. All right, so this is a very practical question for us, Carol. I mean, this is, I'll tell you what I think, and I live by the clock, and so I'm a big person on setting schedules and trying to be there early or on time, and I get very stressed out when I'm not there because I feel like I've made a commitment that, you know, it's an integrity issue and so on, and, you know, it happens once in a while. We apologize and go on, but when there's a perpetual lateness to everything that we commit to, I think it can be very stress-producing and potentially impacting relationships because people start not to trust us. You know, they don't trust you. Say you're going to be here at 5 and you show up at 6 or 5:30 or whatever.
Right.
And so that's an issue. I can you talk to your husband about that? Not so much in terms of just, you know, the fact that he's slower than you are in getting ready, but the impact on we making commitments or we have what it's doing to you and the fact that you really want to get you want to work this through. I don't know, set the clock early or set the agenda so you, instead of saying it's a 5 o'clock, it's 4:45, so you got 15-minute breather or whatever. Have you talked about a way of resolving this?
We talk about it, and he always is just, they'll wait, they'll be there when we get there.
Yeah, see, to me, you know, my view of that is if we make other people wait intentionally, that can be really, frankly, disrespectful. It's like when I go to the doctor, and I understand the doctors get busy, but when you have an appointment and you have to sit there for 45 minutes, to me, that's disrespectful. If you got an appointment, you got an appointment. And the scheduling should be such that you can move through the day. And so, you know, I'm a little bit of a fanatic on this one. You have a schedule, follow it, be there. So I would encourage you to take a deep breath. You're not going to change your husband. You love him, and love is patient. And you married him, and he's your guy. And you don't want to have high blood pressure over it. So taking a deep breath and enjoying the ride as much as you can in terms of getting there when you get there. And maybe just a real practical thing: tell people, hey, you know, if it's a 5 o'clock, you just need to know we may not be there at 5. We'll be there when we be there. Just tell them. You're better to tell them we'll be there when you will be there than to tell them you'll be there at 5 and then you're stressed out when you can't get there.
So if I'm going to talk to him before the situation even happens.
Yeah, I think talking to him, but also I'm just saying if there's a pattern, just if he's saying, hey, don't count on me being at a place on time, they'll be there when they're there. If that's his approach and how it's going to be, then you're better to tell the people, hey, don't plan on us at 5. We'll be there when we get there. Then you don't have the stress either. And then if it's something really important to you, you may have to, you know, take care of it yourself. I don't know. Just some thoughts. I hope that helps. Thank you for your call, Carol. Kathy is in Michigan. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, I didn't really have a question. I just thought that I would throw an idea out at you and see what you thought about it.
All right.
I was thinking with the whole patience thing, going along with it, I noticed that I get impatient the fastest when I'm trying to control a situation.
Yes.
And where I'm going with that is I was thinking how the Lord gave us agency to choose for ourselves what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So my thought was, as he's given us agency, when we're trying to control someone else's agency and not let them live it, so we're not listening to them and trying to understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, when we try to control our kids and the stuff that they do, I find myself very impatient.
Yeah, well, that's true. Control is an illusion.
Yes.
It really is, Kathy. We don't control much. What we teach is we can control our own thinking. We can control our own reaction to another person. There are things that we are responsible for. We can be responsible for our own stuff. But when we try to control an environment, I tell people we have about as much control as my arms will stretch out, and that's about it, you know? And beyond that, people, are going to have their own control. They're going to make their own decision. That's why when you even read the scripture, it doesn't tell parents, make your children obey. It says to children, children, obey your parents. In other words, the command is a personal one to our children. Our job is to help set an environment, to guide them, to hold them accountable, to discipline, which means to train them and so on. In a way that'll draw them closer to Christ. But I think you're absolutely right. I think control is probably the thing that gets us into more trouble or as much trouble as anything in life.
Yep. Or just expecting them to do it and to know that that's what they're supposed to do. We're not doing our job teaching well enough.
Do you wrestle with the control thing yourself?
I do, actually. I have a really hard time. I don't even know how to go into detail. There's lots of things. I want things to happen, and sometimes when they don't, it gets really frustrating for me. But I've just kind of come to this realization that I feel like it's because I'm trying to control it and I'm not letting the agency take its place that I'm getting so worked up.
Mm. Well, take a deep breath and turn down the control.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. You know, when we teach, we talk about different approaches to life. There's some people who are drivers and some people who are pleasers and some people who are controllers. And controllers, well, obviously you can see the word. They like to control everything around them, including you. And that doesn't work so well, does it? Today, we're focusing on practicing patience. The scripture, again, really reminds us that the first attribute of love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, is that love is patient. It says that's even before it's kind or before it's not easily angered and so on. It says it's patient. The very first attribute is that love is patient. So how are you doing on that? Certainly love to hear your stories. You can join the discussion on Facebook, by the way. When you go to theintentionallife.com, you can get to Facebook or Facebook/intentionalliving. Practicing patience today.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I just wanted to leave my comment about how I have been intentional in my role as a mother. Since my children have been young, every time we have a discussion or things just don't seem to be going the way that I think they should, I stop for a minute and I try to remind myself what it was like to be the age that they are now.
As a mother, the intentional thing that I did was to intentionally be involved in my children, where they were going, who they were with, making sure when they said they were spending the night with someone that I knew them or
was able to communicate with those parents so that there was accountability. Things that we're doing to be intentional, we, my husband and I, are the parents of 7 children. One night a month, we pick one child, and they get to pick out where we go out for dinner, what we do afterwards, and just have some intentional one-on-one time with mom and dad.
Okay, I could see some parents saying, you want to go where? Where? Hey, listen, that's a good idea. Two things I heard. One was, I really like two things. One is you heard the mom who said, we elevate each child each month or one each month and let them sort of be the boss. Let them be in charge. We honor them. I think that's a powerful thing because so often it's the firstborn that's kind of the bossy one sometimes. And the babies, those of us who are the babies in the family, we get kind of left behind, feeling sorry for ourselves. But I think that's good. The second thing, I heard the caller that said, hey, we know where our kids are going and who they're spending time with. The most cherished thing you have are your kids, and you just send them out to somebody's home you don't know. Parents, be wise. Be smart. Be intentional, okay? I think that's good advice for you today. No other book has more impact than the Bible. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Don and I are looking forward to touring the brand new Museum of the Bible this October and want to share the experience with you.
And I'm Peter Brooks. Together we'll tour Washington, D.C.'s most iconic sites and discover the Bible's influence in many familiar, though sometimes surprising places, often hidden in plain sight.
Affirming your faith while providing the vacation of a lifetime for you and your family. We're so excited to share the Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour this October with you.
Yeah, it won't be the same without you. So here's your opportunity to sign up now.
And signing up is easy at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington. After that, we'll enjoy a vacation together October 10th through 16th in Washington, D.C.
Hey, it's going to be a lot of fun. I've had many people as I'm traveling around saying, hey, I heard your spot. And then some say, hey, we're coming with you. We're looking at coming with you. It's going to be great. It's going to be a unique time in Washington, D.C. for these 6 or 7 days, touring the White House, as you heard, and the Capitol. And then I'm excited about going to the Museum of the Bible. We're going to be starting our tour right there. We're going to be hearing from some of the experts who have really been studying where the history of the Bible. And we're going to talk about the Bible's impact on our nation. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to have a vacation with a purpose. It's going to be fantastic. And listen, if you haven't registered or even checked it out, do so soon, okay? Time's passing. October will be here before you know it, getting your plans for the fall now. Maybe an exciting time. Maybe this is an anniversary trip that you want to plan or something special with your family. Check it out by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on events, okay? Hey, tomorrow we're going to talk about how do you find purpose in the midst of pain? That's a tough thing to do because you're lost in pain, right? Come and join us. We're going to get very intentional and we're going to do a lot of caring together, okay? See you then.